disruption zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
The Disruption Zone, I'm Leland Conway, Cameron Mills, couple of manly men here.
We're doing an
episode. Here's the question. What is the most manly thing you've ever done? We're not trying to exclude women.
No.
I'm just saying, what is the most manly thing you've ever done?
I could give an answer for what is the most womanly thing I've ever done. I've got some answers for that. So I'm sure there's some women out. Women can answer that. What's the most manly thing they've ever done?
Well, whatever started this was the story that went national and viral out of Colorado.
Yeah.
There was a guy jogging up in Fort Collins, Colorado, and he said he apparently gets attacked by an 80-pound juvenile mountain lion.
Okay.
And he says he's running along, and he hears something behind him, and he turns around, and by then it was already on him, and it bit his neck. And apparently he had – that's what they do is they go for the jugular.
Well, I've seen the Serengeti.
Yeah.
I've seen the films.
I grew up out west,
these
man. They go for the
neck.
Jugular. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Somehow or another, he was able to wrestle the cat off and kill it with his bare hands and apparently strangle it to death. And 80 pounds is kind of a small mountain lion, but it's still pretty big.
How big did they get? Do you know?
They get about maybe 120, 130, okay. 150,
90,
maybe 150 on a real big one.
I've got a 90-pound golden retriever at home.
Yeah.
And I can't get him off me when
right.
he's on me, and he likes to cuddle.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there thinking, an 80-pound...
Add knife-sharp claws to that and see what happens.
And canines that they're yeah. actually... Would they be canines on a cat? No.
Felines. I don't know.
Felines, so. Clearly. Felines. And, you know, that it's... That, when Henry gets on me, he gets on because he wants some love.
Right.
This thing jumped on him from behind and went for his neck.
Right.
And somehow...
He is able to strangle it.
Here's the thing.
And then runs him... But he runs himself to the hospital afterwards.
Well, he's clearly a runner.
Serious injuries.
Well,
not life-threatening, but serious.
Let me ask you this. Okay. As a dog lover yourself...
Yes.
Let's put... Or an animal lover yourself. Because you and I have had the conversation of we don't think we could own... cattle farms.
No, I couldn't.
Or could not be cattle slaughterers.
I couldn't be a cattle rancher because I could never
as
kill Bessie.
As much as I love steak and beef and all things food, right?
I love to hunt.
See? I tried.
I can stalk a deer Massive all day value. Long yeah. and shoot the deer because it has a sporting chance.
Okay. Oh,
the cow is domestic.
Yeah.
The cow says, oh, here comes Leland. He's got the grain. Boom!
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Right.
I can't do that.
However, you cooking steak tonight?
Yeah, I am.
All right, there we go.
But somebody else killed it for me.
See, that's my point.
I got too big a heart. I got too soft
so
a heart.
So my question then is, would you have – put yourself in this guy's shoes.
Okay.
Because we're using it as a jumping off point of what's the manliest thing we've ever done. I'd like to think I would fight the cat off. I don't know that I would continue on to kill it. I'd like to think I would want to try to chase it away. This man – now, probably was the smarter thing.
You. I can answer this for you.
All right, go.
Because I grew up out west, and I know a little bit about these animals.
Yes.
You must fight to the death with a cat.
Oh, all right.
I'm going to have to get a gun.
I'm
serious. With a cat, you must fight to the death. The cat, like, there's two things that happen here. One, if it decides to attack you, it thinks you're food.
Yeah.
Okay? Two, if you fight back, it ain't going to quit.
Now, I'm not arguing
that is
to
be
you.
So.
However, I've seen a fantastic viral video of two mother lions holing a mongoose. Or maybe it's tigers. I guess I'm lying because mongooses are in India.
Trying
but
to let it go?
No. Basically these two lionesses came up and actually came across a mongoose in its den.
Okay.
And the mongoose fought. I mean, they were more playing with it because it wasn't something they wanted to eat. It wasn't a wildebeest.
Right.
It was something like a nuisance. But this thing was going at them.
Right.
And was antagonizing them now out of defense and basically chased them both away eventually.
That almost never happens.
Okay. I'm not saying
if
it doesn't.
That's
why, maybe that's why it went viral.
If you have a mountain lion jump on you, you better kill it.
Okay.
If you can.
All right. Then we need to be
You're
taking.
Gonna, it's going
to
kill you. I can tell.
Don't say that. I need to be having Krav Maga lessons
yes.
for the personal attacking from other people. And then
yes.
I need the how do I kill a live animal
yes.
with my bare hands.
You have to be willing to do it.
All right. So then let's get this to you. So what is the manliest thing you've – that may or may not be his. I'd like to ask that guy the question.
Yeah. Well, because I think that's a pretty manly thing.
Yeah.
to be able to whoop a lion's ass and then kill it and then run to the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty manly.
Out of self-defense, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I could.
Manliest thing I've ever done?
Yeah. I'm ready if you want to wait.
All right. So this is kind of a funny story and kind of not.
Okay.
So when I was in college, a girl I was dating, we went camping with a couple of other couples.
Okay.
And we went down to the Kentucky River.
Okay.
And we had a camping spot down there up on a cliff, the Palisades. And we thought this was public land. And we
innocent
got up,
mistake.
We got up there and we got to camping. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, the night silence.
Nothing good happens after 1
right,
a.m.
About 2 o'clock in the morning, the night silence and our sleep was shattered.
Okay.
The sound of bullets ricocheting off of trees above us.
Okay.
And then came the hollering and the yelling. And we're up here on this cliff. And there's a pathway coming up, and it sounds like whoever is being is shooting the gun is down below us on the riverbank.
Okay.
And we hear, I know y'all are up there, and I'm coming up there. Y'all better be ready. And I'm
clearly
like,
someone from Louisville.
Yeah, clearly from Louisville. I mean, it was like that kind of like, right? And we're just like, holy crap, we ended up camping on some marijuana farm.
Which is, yeah.
Right. So, okay, so let me tell you how we were positioned. The edge of the cliff was on one side. The girl that I was with was on that edge.
Yeah.
I was next to her. Mm-hmm. Then there was the girl from the other, one of the other couples, and the guy, and then the girl, and then the guy.
Right.
Now, the guy on the, all the way on the other end.
Furthest away or furthest
away?
To?
Furthest away.
Furthest away.
Yeah. Had a machete, and that was the only thing we had to defend ourselves
okay.
with.
Okay. All right.
They kept shooting.
Yeah.
And they kept yelling.
Yeah.
And they were coming up the hill.
Right.
So we're laying there, and apparently the other two guys were froze solid. And
sure.
I rolled over on top of the girl that I was with, thinking that we were going to take a bullet. I
sure.
actually no, I'm dead serious. Sure. I'm dead serious about this. You can joke all you want, but I'm dead serious about this. I thought we were going to die. And I'm laying there.
So your instinct was protection.
My instinct was to protect her.
Good deal.
But I got to thinking about it as we were there, and time began to pass, and they began to get closer. That this is not going to be the best position to be in because they'll shoot me and they'll shoot her.
Right. Fair enough.
So at this time, the other two guys had not done a damn thing. They were just laying in their sleeping bags, not moving, not saying anything, just laying there.
Okay.
So I finally said in a whisper to the guy on the far end, give me the machete. So he
you're
hands it to
bringing
the, right. So
a
he,
knife to a gunfight.
So he hands. Yes, I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he hands it to the girl, who hands it to the guy, who hands it to the girl.
Oh, there's a much better way to handle machetes.
So I get up and I crouch by a bush and I wait and
oh.
I have the machete back and I'm basically at this
wow.
place. I'm at this place in
yeah.
my heart, in
right.
my mind. I'm assuming we're all dead in the morning and we're on the news.
You've crossed the line.
But,
emotionally,
right.
meaning,
emotionally
yeah. and mentally.
Emotionally, I'm thinking
you're there.
This is all going to be on the news tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Every one of us are going to be dead bodies, but there's going to be one of the guys coming after us
okay.
amongst the dead.
Okay.
I had decided this.
Okay.
So I'm sitting by the bush and I'm crouched. And as they come up to the top of the cliff area, the clouds go past the moon. The moon comes out. I see a glimmer and I recognize a shirt. I recognize a jacket. I recognize a face. It's my so-called best friend and this
oh.
dumbass redneck buddy that he had who wanted to go out and play with his guns and scare us. And they were, and I'm telling you, I have never been so mad in my life because one, what they did was incredibly dangerous.
Yes.
It was horribly unsafe.
Yes.
And a yelling match broke out and then blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line
was.
Are
you still friends with these people in any way?
I'm friends
any
with
of
the
them.
One guy because he apologized. I made him apologize to every one of them. The guy that was my best friend.
Okay. All right. That guy.
The other guy.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I never talked to him again.
Because
the guy that owned the gun that
okay.
was doing
yeah.
the shooting.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. They probably woke some people up that probably would have shot us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
well,
so the bottom line is
it's not exactly gun safety.
I don't know if you call that manly or not, but
I do.
I feel like that in that moment
you went into self defense mode. You're
well,
just like the mountain
no,
lion
no,
guy.
I didn't
you
go
did.
into. I was not
no.
in self defense mode.
Oh, baloney.
Hold on. I was in defense mode. I was willing to defend everybody I was with, even though I knew I was going to die.
Fair enough. But in your own description, you said, we're all going to die, right, but one of them's going with us.
Right.
Okay, so that's okay. When I say self-defense, I'm not accusing you of only defending yourself. I'm saying you are going to defend yourself,
right,
and your party,
right,
from this craziness.
Yes, and we were all going to die.
Well, I don't see a difference in that.
I don't know. I don't know if that's manly or not.
You didn't have to go through with it. But
no,
you were mentally prepared.
But I was mentally
and
prepared.
That's what I meant by. Well,
and
I
as
said,
God is my witness, I thought
line.
I was going to stab a man that
yeah.
night.
And that's what I mean, is that you had mentally and emotionally crossed the line. And I don't mean a bad line.
Right.
I mean a line of, because we all like to think we could.
Right.
We all like to think we would. It's different when you have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing.
But it sort of answered a question in my mind.
Yeah.
What would you do if?
Okay.
And I sort of know now.
Well, see, I don't. So okay. Let me give you mine.
All right. What's
now, mine is going to sound incredibly, I don't even know what the word is compared to yours.
All right.
I've got two, but one of them, I mean sincerely, but it's kind of silly. It is not fun playing college basketball at UK. I mean, there's a lot of fun to it. But as I've told so many people, there's a 90% you don't see behind the closed doors,
right,
that is not celebrating in Rupp Arena or
not. Not the glamour.
Not the glamour. Perfectly said. It sounds so silly to say the toughest thing and the most manly thing I've ever done is not quit. Because my freshman year, I wanted to quit. I've told the story many times. I went home, my mom and dad, five times, begging them in a few of those cases with tears in my eyes to quit because I could not take it anymore my freshman year. Now, eventually, I learned how to be coached. I learned what coaching really was. I learned that it wasn't, from Coach Pitino in this case, it wasn't personal. It was motivational. And it didn't matter how he coached. What mattered is how I received it, mm-hmm, right? So that is the first time I remember thinking, okay, I've conquered something. I conquered that. And it was only emotional fear. It was never physical fear, though you wondered sometimes. It was emotional fear and mental fear of being essentially mentally and emotionally dressed down every day.
Yeah.
Eventually you get to the point where you learn, or you quit, or you transfer. You get to the point of, how I receive this is what matters, not what he's saying.
Yeah.
Is this coaching?
Yeah.
Or is this personal? He doesn't mean it's personal. He's trying to get the most out of me. Okay, so that was the first time I think I remember feeling a confidence of, I overcame something.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
But the second, so that came out in moments of strength.
Okay.
The second most manly thing, and probably the manliest thing I've done at this point, because this was scary personally as I judged myself, and it's when I was dealing with my opiate addiction. Because I had to admit I was weak in a way that I was not comfortable admitting I was weak. I had to admit that this drug had a power over me that I could not control, and I needed to go to other people and say, I need help. And as I've said many times, I had my parents and two very good doctors who decided that we think you have a problem, and they vocalized that to me.
Yeah.
And I wanted to deny it, because what do they say? Alcoholism addicts, the hardest part is admitting you have the problem. The first step, admitting you have the problem.
Yeah.
Well, that was terrifying to me because it showed a weakness in me that I didn't want to admit existed, or maybe I didn't think existed. Either way, it was not easy.
Yeah.
And so going through getting off, that wasn't easy, but admitting that I had the problem, and it sounds so, because we're talking about the manliest things we've done.
Why do you think that doesn't sound manly? Because I think that is the epitome of character.
Well, because I look at, and this is what's fun about this question.
Right.
Is because it can be interpreted so many ways. Yeah. Is that you can talk, it's manly to be able to, out of self-defense, kill a mountain lion with your bare hands. Or maybe it's out of necessity of meat. Let's go there. I mean, abusing animals, no, that's not very manly. But having to do it for necessity of meat or in self-defense, okay. It's manly to cross that line of, okay, am I going to turn and run, fight or flight,
right?
To make that decision. And to make the decision, as you made in your story, to fight instead of flight, right? Mm-hmm. Or freeze, which mm-hmm. I think should always be added in.
Yeah.
Fight, flight, or freeze.
Right, there you go. That's good.
But there is a, because I thought when you said you wanted to discuss this topic on the show, I thought that's a fun question. It's a scary question because you got to go back.
But it's also a serious question.
I know.
Because
I'm taking it very seriously by the way I'm answering.
Because masculinity is being challenged in a big way right now.
Right.
And when I say what's the most manly thing you've ever done, this is not to in any way insult women and say that women aren't capable or that doing a womanly thing isn't a great thing. But it's in the news a lot right now because masculinity is being challenged.
Yeah.
And there are multiple components to manning up.
Yes.
And one of the components of manning up is being willing to defend your family.
It is.
But one of the components of manning up is being able to admit you're wrong.
To me, it's one of the hardest in the things we do. It's one of the things.
I think what you did is harder than what I did.
It all goes back to emotion, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Whether it's fear of whatever, because in the way we're defining it right now, to be manly is to overcome fear, right? Which like you said,
yeah.
Woman, man, doesn't matter. We're men, so we're using the word man, manly. It's overcoming fear. That's all it is.
Right.
And it can be done in any way. So whether it's the fear for your life, the fear of judgment, the fear of whatever, the fear of God, that's even a good thing.
Right.
Right. I mean, so it's finding out how do I overcome that fear?
Right.
You know?
And obviously this applies to all human beings, mm-hmm. but I do think, and this is kind of the secret way I wanted to go with this conversation, is that I think there's a massive lack of male role models in today's society. I was blessed, as you were, mm-hmm. to have a father who was, and I'll say it, manly man.
Yeah.
I had a father who was in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever he is, he's the boss.
Yeah.
Right? That's his personality. And it's not that he's obnoxious.
Right.
It's that he's an individual who knows what he wants to get out of life.
And easily takes leadership.
Yeah. And so my role model in life.
Yeah.
When you say, this is a great point, easily takes responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have a son, but if I had a son,
right.
The number one lesson that I would teach him is to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, in your moment,
yeah,
you were taking responsibility for your situation, for the decisions that you made,
yep.
and for the long road to recovery that was coming ahead.
Right.
In my situation, I was taking responsibility for two frozen dudes that didn't want to do anything
right.
and everybody else that came with us.
Yeah.
And for the fact that I thought I wasn't going to be continuing to live my life after
right.
that evening.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so it's the overcoming of fear either way.
Isn't overcoming fear taking responsibility?
Yes. That's what I mean.
Isn't that what it is?
Here, so maybe in my case,
yeah.
I don't know if I can define this in your case with these words, but in my case, it's the simplest way I can put it is admitting you were wrong.
Yeah.
And as much as it might have been, and here's where I get judgmental, and I mean that in a good way because it's self-judgment,
sure.
which isn't always bad, because to me that's conviction that leads to repentance, which blah, blah, blah. But it's, okay, this is where I think we're lacking a big, if we're talking what is manly or what is
right.
masculine.
Yeah.
With having, let's just take men, okay? Women too, it's human being, it's human nature to fight against, I'm always right, I'm
yeah.
right. Whether it's opinion, whether it's action, but being able to admit, okay, in this case, I was wrong.
Well, isn't repentance?
Repentance is turning and walking away.
Admitting that you're
wrong?
Well,
you wouldn't turn and walk away from something you didn't admit that was wrong, whether you did it
right.
vocally or you did it.
But that's what I'm saying, is like repentance is admitting that you're wrong.
Yes, but it's also turning and walking away.
Yes, doing
that's
something,
right.
changing the behavior.
Right, yeah.
That comes along with
right.
it. So what is toxic masculinity? Is it a thing?
I don't think it's a thing. I
do.
Okay, in what sense then?
And I'll explain.
Well, okay, then I'll say it this way.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the thing it's made out to be.
No, it's not.
Okay, fine.
It's not. It
I don't think it's the thing the way the public, the way the media
the phrase
it.
Is being used as a weapon
okay.
against all men.
Fair enough. Then how do you?
Toxic masculinity is manhood without role models, manhood without the ability to understand that, admitting that you're wrong, manhood without taking responsibility.
So manhood without.
Toxic masculinity
is manhood without humility.
Yeah, that add that component to it. Yes, but it is what we have today is a bunch of guys
mm-hmm.
who've been raised, one, to hate themselves because they're male, two, without male role models.
Yeah.
Okay, and so because of this, they have the same super hormones that every other male in the history of mankind has had,
mm-hmm.
and it's not being directed in the right way. I have seen sometimes how teenage boys treat teenage girls around them.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen how grown men who are younger in age treat their wives and the people or their girlfriends or whoever they're
mm-hmm.
around, and I'm going, dude, you didn't have a male role model.
Right.
That's toxic masculinity. It's a thing.
Yeah.
it's being used as a bludgeon against all mankind yeah. to give an advantage maybe by some groups of people. They would rather just suppress manhood
yeah.
because it's being lumped in with this idea of bravado
right.
and strength and responsibility yeah. to be the leader of the family and all that stuff. And they're trying to come against that. And what they don't realize is that if you destroy that part of manhood, yeah. all you're going to get is more of the other crap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think my problem with the phrase is I've never heard the phrase until recently.
Oh, yeah. It's a total made-up term.
It's a made-up term.
Absolutely.
To define everything you weren't just talking about.
Yeah.
The other part of being manly in any way is wrong. That's what bothers me is
yeah.
when you take nine-year-old kids. We're not – I don't know how much recess these kids are getting. But, okay, I was in Kroger today, right,
mm-hmm.
and saw this kid, I'm going to guess 8, 9 years old, just being a kid. I was past the checkout line. I was waiting on someone else, and this kid had a plastic bag and was running and down, like, you know, right by the windows
right.
by Kroger, like where there's, okay, so you've got the checkout lines.
Right.
So you got the windows in front of
yeah.
front windows. Thank you. He's running up and down, skipping, trying to break this plastic over his knees. Okay. And I'm watching him and I'm like, that's what a male, I mean, I'm not
that's what a boy would
that's
do.
What a boy would do. That's right. what I would do. But that's a boy that's now going to get labeled as out of control.
Right.
ADHD, needs to be medicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, football is wrong. Fighting and wrestling is wrong. That's what men do, especially right. when they're younger.
Right. But what happens, what's the difference between wrestling and playing football and fighting? It's directed. It's disciplined. There's a point.
Yes.
Right?
There is a point.
The point is
we have to win
the game. We have an enemy, a common enemy. We're going to band together as a team. We're
right.
mocking
right.
we're mocking combat. These are all, if you believe in evolution, evolutionary things, but if you believe in creation, then simply the way that we were created,
right.
it's for the survival of the species. These are all things that have to be molded and disciplined. And in order to do that, you have to have a male role model who takes responsibility for their actions. It was rare, but I saw my dad admit when he was wrong.
It's funny you say that. Same thing for me.
Right. It was rare.
And I bet those moments where he did stand out night and day to you.
But they also are probably why the one man I respect more than anybody else in
yeah.
the world
yeah.
right now is my father.
Yeah.
And I have issues with him.
Sure. I've been around you
yeah.
for those issues.
Yes.
Well, those were very entertaining.
Yes, they were. But... The one, and I would say this to his face,
yeah.
the one man I respect in the world more than anybody yeah. else is my father.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know if this, you know, kind of going back to the whole what's the manliest thing you've ever done. You know, I think we've sort of morphed this conversation.
I don't know. I like this because we've
yeah.
given two different stories,
right.
two very different definitions, both to me,
mm-hmm.
exactly where they should be.
Right.
There's an element where you have to fight or
yeah.
be killed
right.
or cease to exist. There's a moment where you have to admit fault or cease to exist.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Absolutely. Totally. 100%. So there you go. What's the manliest thing you ever did? All right. That's it. The Disruption Zone. I'm Leland Conway. Cameron Mills. Many thanks to my co-host Cameron Mills, and many thanks to our production partners, the Dynamics Productions in Lexington, Kentucky. It's dxaudio.com if you want to check them out. You can follow us on Twitter. It's at Zone Disruption, and of course, at Leland Show, and at Cameron Mills, Mills with a Z on the end of it. And you can also follow us on Instagram. It is The Disruption Zone and at Greatly Londo. So check it out. Best thing you can do for us is to share this podcast. Share it. It's free to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play, on Spreaker, on iHeartRadio, and wherever podcasts are found. So please download it, share, subscribe to it, and share it with your friends. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Leland Conway along with Cameron Mills on The Disruption Zone.